Good morning. Everybody take a good deep breath in through the nose, out through the mouth. Great song. Love it. As I've said before, we are tremendously blessed with some great song leaders. And I'm sure we've got some running around that we don't hear from very often. And I'm sure that our two would love to give you that opportunity if you are interested in doing so. And that goes for really any service that we have here and things that we offer, that there are things in which we want to encourage you, that you would use the gifts that God has given you, not only here, but when you leave here, for the furtherance of His kingdom. This morning, we'll wrap up our Sermon on the Mount series in Matthew chapter 7, and we'll begin in verse 15, and we'll try to make it to the end of the chapter. I guess I shouldn't make promises, right, that I may not keep, but that's what we're going to shoot to do. I do want to once again, remind you, next weekend, starting Friday night and Saturday morning through around 3 o'clock, we'll have our mental health workshop. And Ben, my cousin, will be presenting things from the mental health field. Of course, he's been a minister for as long as I have. And so it'll certainly be from the Bible and different things and just giving practical things that we can use in our own lives and maybe to benefit others around us as well. And I'll be spending most of my time in the Gospel of Mark and my opportunity to speak, and we'll wrap that up on Sunday. I encourage you to let us know if you're coming, so we make sure we got enough food. But if you wake up Friday or Saturday and you're like, you know what, I think I'm going to go to that thing, and I didn't register, come on, right? Don't let that keep you from coming. And, of course, anybody that you run into that you might think could benefit, we do it in a very practical way, which everybody, I believe, can benefit from. So just encourage you to be here. We'll have a nice little workbook. If you don't come on Friday night and it just drives you crazy that you can't fill in the blanks because you weren't here Friday night, we can make that happen, right? Don't let that keep you from coming. And I get mixed up sometimes and forget to change the slide and all that stuff. So I've had people come to me and go, I missed this blank. That's fine. We just look for an opportunity for fellowship. Washington Street is going to be providing potatoes for us for lunch. Stuffed potatoes with pork and stuff and all kinds of good things. So hope that you make the decision to be with us. If not, then certainly be praying about the event. It'll help a lot of folks. So we get into Matthew chapter 7, and we begin to pick up. Last time I was able to stand before you, we went through verse 15, coming out of the narrow and wide gates. And as we've talked about in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is using illustrations of groups of people and maybe their thought process. And I think that anybody who really looks at an organization or a group of people that they're in, the body here at Riverside, we always want to find ways to be better servants, to be able to better serve those around us and show that love. And this is one of those bodies that I've been blessed to serve at that does a really good job of that, at least from my perspective. But I'm certain there are ways in which we can be better. And if there are those ways and you know of them, tell us. That's not one of my gifts, mind reading. But we certainly want to do things, and of course, this coming weekend is one of those where we try to be beneficial to the community. We had a great event with T.J. Kirk, had a lot of good young folks in here, kept me on my toes, singing and coloring and filling in blanks and a Bible lesson, and man, it was just great. I think we had over 50. I think that's an easy number that we surpassed. It was just a great time, and thankful for all those who helped and those who prayed for it as well. And so in verse 15, Jesus warns, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. And so this action that comes out from knowing God and being in relation, you might call it a rub, right? When we spend time with God, that time is not ever wasted, right? When we take that opportunity, those times where we're able to gather together, we're stirred up for good works. It is our response to the salvation. It's our response to what God has done in our lives that we do good things, not we do good things to earn our way into salvation. And he's making a very strict juxtaposition. There you go. How about that? Laura, I hope I used that word correctly. In this situation of people who are trying to portray that, yes, there are these things that you've got to do, these checklists that you've got to do, and the first boundary, the first thing that you've got to get through is our approval. And then once you do that, then maybe, just maybe, you will have access to the Father. Maybe. If you do. And of course, we know Jesus makes statements like, you bind heavy burdens that you yourselves cannot bear. You make these rules and traditions that you yourself can't get over. So therefore, you've already made it to where you know these people can't. And so you're setting up an extra barrier between God and these people. Don't do that. It is our response to the blessings of God. If we got nothing else from the Lord than what Jesus did, that's enough. But He continues to bless us. And so our response to that is to do good things that He outlined. It is by nature, for some reason, as human beings, this is the way we do, we come up with structural things. Right now, I just lost the phrase, but in our idea, there's just society structures, right? You could look at our red lights and our green lights, and you could say, well, that's just a structural thing. That's something we created that helps us not have a bunch of accidents. We bring structure to that. You could say that, but they're very important, right? They play a role in society, and we all, hopefully, once we get to the point we start driving, we all understand that role, right? It's not so much the red or the green or the colors that we use. It's that we use colors. They're there for a reason. And so traditions in themselves, we have traditions here at Riverside, right? We're going to do share time. I would consider that a tradition. You don't have to do it the way that we do it. And we all know that. And we all understand that. There are a bunch of churches that we fellowship with who don't do that, don't have that opportunity that we have. But we all know and should be explaining to our younger generations that that's just the way we do it here. It's not necessarily have to be done that way everywhere else. So in that, a tradition's not wrong. The problem comes in when we go, you have to do it the way we do it, or you don't have access to God. And there we see the issue with the Pharisees and the scribes, right? They wanted to be the gatekeeper of who can get close to God and who cannot. And so I hope that I have never set myself up that way. And if I have, I plead forgiveness and beg your forgiveness. And I repent, because I have no access to God that you don't have if you're a Christian, right? And it's really because of what Jesus did and nothing about what I do. I'm just do what I'm told to do, hopefully, with the authority of Jesus. And so we say this idea, like the fruit, right? The outcome of what people is doing is what we judge them by. And honestly, that's really all we can do outside of a supernatural intervene from God, right? Like, we want to, our judicial system, one of the reasons our judicial system is so backed up is they have this cosmological approach. It's not, did he do it? It's, why did he do it, and what are all the circumstantial reasons, right? Well, he grew up in poverty. He didn't have a dad in the home. He didn't have this and that. And that all may be true. And as a community of believers, we take that and we try to serve people through that. But our judicial system, right, has to deal with, did he do it? What is the evidence? Did she do it? What is the evidence? And make that call. We are somewhat limited in our evidence to things. Did they do it or did they not? Yes, we can take into punishment the different aspects that led to maybe that event. Maybe it was accidental. Maybe it was on purpose. Yes, we have those things. But God is the only one who has all the evidence. But Jesus comes to us, he goes, I want to simplify the way you discern what you are to be a part of and what you are to keep away from. And it's the fruit. What is the product, right? Whitney has spent a lot of time on Portrait of a Graduate. What are we producing here at Riverside? And it's really a lot better to go, okay, what do we want to produce? And then we will backtrack and build to make sure that's what we're doing. Jesus is making the statement, right? It's the fruit. It's the product at the end that you can look and go, is this good or is this bad? We should be doing that as a body continuously. We should be doing that as a school. And we should be doing that with the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We go to the Word of God and we go, hey, is this mirrored in my life? Right? What is the product? And we should be continually doing that. One of the processes of the Lord's Supper, right, is to think about the past week and where we fall short and how great God is that He steps into those places and can use that anyways, right? We celebrate what Jesus did. It's not we do our best and then God brings us to the finish line, right? God is continually working. It's a journey. It's a process. It's that sanctification. We were justified by what Jesus did. And we know, and you can know, right? I want you to get this, right? You can know that you are going to heaven because of what Jesus did. That's justification. I was justified once by Jesus. And because of that justification and the confidence I have, not in Travis Creasy, but the confidence in who Jesus is, the power of the Spirit, the perfectness of God's Word, right? I have confidence in that. That today, even though things may go crazy, things may be weird, things may not go the way I want them to, I may hear news that I don't want to hear. I have confidence in what Jesus did and what He is doing in my life to carry me across the finish line. All right, I have confidence in Him that then trickles down to me living a random Sunday or Monday in March. Right, that come what may, because of what Jesus did, right, I'm going to live in such a way that even when I fail miserably, and I've convinced myself I've failed miserably, Jesus is still King. Jesus can still use those things, right? There are people leaving the church all the time because they believe in, they're taught this idea that they're hanging by a thread over hell, right? Well, I already knew that to some degree, right? Whether it's a spiritual hell or like living in a personal hell now. Like I've already got that part, right? But what is our confidence is in Him. It's not the good that I've done. Certainly not the bad I've done. It's what Jesus did and accomplished that I could not do and cannot do. Romans 7, Paul tells you flat out, I see in my life that I can't do it. And I want to tell you something. If Paul couldn't do it without Jesus, Travis Creasy cannot do it without Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit in His Word. And in Romans 8, 1, right? There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Get in Jesus. Let Him be in you. Invite Him into you every single day. Make that not just a habit, but something you do with power and purpose. And it can change your life. Because guess what? 22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who practice lawlessness. I went King James on you there for a minute. You who practice lawlessness, quoting the psalm, a psalm of David, right? Depart from me. He says, a lot of you, the Jews, right? The Jews were the people of God. It's literally what they were called, right? I mean, it's in there. This is my son, the Israel. I hear them crying out to me. I've come and I've rescued them. He's speaking directly to them. Read the Old Testament. Look at all the things that God accomplished through stiff-necked, right, stubborn people against their own will. He says, you guys did a tremendous amount of things through the power of God, and yet what did you do? You denied Him. You didn't really trust Him. And a lot of you people are going to show up on the day of judgment and go, oh, but Lord, we were your people. We were chosen people. What did you produce? Jesus looks at it's the religious elite of the Jews. He says, you make them more sons of hell than they were before. You get in a boat and travel across big bodies of water to make them worse than when you found them. Because you're what? Trusting in your ability, in your checklist, and the way you've always done it. He says, there's going to be a lot of people on the day of judgment who say, but Lord, we did all these things in your name. All right? Paul would put it that you speak in tongues. You do all these miracles, you do all these amazing things, but you don't love the people that you're around. You're not producing loving people, right? I think about my kids, you know, and to some degree, they seem to love everybody outside their home really well, right? And I don't want to crush that, right? I don't want to ruin that. And I'm at that age where, like, sometimes I shake my fist. I said this at the sky for being a shade of blue that I don't want it to be, right? And it's so precious. I don't want to crush that loving spirit, right? I've come to the knowledge that all of their annoying qualities are just my qualities up to 11, right? Like, where did you learn that? Me, that's where you learn that. And you just take it up because you have no governor on how annoying that is, right? And that's a strange feeling to go, I did that to you, right? And then you start to look at your own life and you go, man, I don't want to pass that down to them. Like, why would I want to give them any of the qualities that I have that are not revealing Jesus in my life? And those are the ones that are the easiest to pass along. It's just a process that we have to say, you know, why am I doing all this? Is it so people will look at me and go, oh, that Travis Creasy guy, he's a good dude. He's a good person. Compared to who? Or am I doing it? Hopefully somebody say, man, look at that messed up guy over there. Look what Jesus is doing with that. Like, if he can do that with that dude, what can he do if I just give my life to him? That's really what we're talking about. You know, we love people and who we want God to get the credit. Like, I don't want the pat on the back. I want God to get that pat. I want people to see the things that I'm doing and realize it has nothing to do with what I want to do. It has everything to do with what he's done. And if we can reveal that to people, that's really what it boils down to. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears the words of mine and acts on them. Whose words? I want us to think about that, right? Whose words? Whose words? Right? Not Travis's words. Right? I think it's interesting to go, whose words? And then look at verse 28. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. Why? For he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. That may be the biggest compliment the scribes get in the whole thing, right? Like, they're not teaching of one of authority. Or maybe people see right through them, right? Oh, they teach like they wish they had the authority. And once again, I hope that cannot be said of me. I'm sure it could be in the past, hopefully not now, right? I am not the authority. Whose words, right? Whose words? Not your favorite preachers. Not your least favorite preachers, right? Not all the guys in between. Jesus' words, those who hear my word. His words, his authority, what he's done is too precious and valuable for you to take my word for it. Just to take my word for it. That's dangerous. Anybody, right? One of the things that's probably the most detrimental to my education is I don't know that anyone ever taught me how to find the truth. Educationally, like, I was taught, here's what's on the test. Right? Here's what you're going to be tested on. Right? I hate giving study guides. I'll tell you, I'll be honest, I hate giving study guides. I don't remember getting one myself, per se, until I was in college. But now it's like that's required as a teacher. Like, if you don't give one, you're terrible. And it's like, I don't remember getting one of these, right? But that's kind of how we've been trained. Like, this is what's on the test. Memorize it for 10 minutes and then forget it forever, right? The truth of God is too precious for you to just trust that Travis Creasy's got this down. Like, you need to go out. Like, it's too precious to me for you to just take what I say and run with it. Like, we all want to get there. Jesus is laying it out. His words. Those who hear my words, not mine, his words. Not that of the scribes, the Pharisees, the Romans, right? Jesus has some of the most unbelievable words to Peter, right? Can you imagine being Peter in that moment? Get behind me, Satan, for what? we focus on the get behind me Satan part, but we forget sometimes, like, just read over why he says what he says. Because you are thinking about this the way men think about it. You've got your little set hierarchy, and this is how it works, and this is how it works every time. And historically, he's got a lot of evidence to that. A lot of evidence. The Old Testament plays out that way. But Jesus rebukes him, saying, not here, not in this kingdom. Not if you're going to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. That's not how this works. Jesus had just told him, I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified. And Peter's like, that's not how this is supposed to go. I don't know if anybody told you, Jesus. Right? Y'all ever had that prayer? I don't know if anybody told you, Jesus, this isn't the way this is supposed to go. Like, you did not get my prior approval to how this goes. And we probably all had that response, either through Scripture or some other revealing, right? Like, I didn't ask you your permission to see how this goes. This is the way it's going to go. But the beauty of that is God wants us to come to Him, even and especially in our frustration. Right? His words, the words of mine and acts on them, may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so go through that verse sometime on your own and just do a checklist of the things that everyone has in that text. Everybody, if you've lived long enough, has experienced the wind and the rain and the storm and the flooding. Right? If you've lived long enough, maybe, like if you were here, you know, a couple of days ago, you experienced that, right? Physically, spiritually, mentally, however it goes. If you've lived long enough, you've experienced this. We have all that in common. That is all things that when you read that text, you go, that's true. You don't believe in God. You can read that text and go, life's hard. That's something we can all agree on, right? If you've lived long enough, life is hard. Life is tough. There are going to be obstacles. There are going to be things come along. Jesus, in his wisdom and truth, says, what's the difference between the two? He really simplifies it, but he also makes it clear what our decision is. Really, what we do in this equation, what we bring to the table, is the choice of what we do with his words. In Mark's account, we'll get into this next weekend, of the Transfiguration, Jesus appears, Moses, Elijah, and God says, this is my son, very repetitive of the baptism, but he adds something to the end. Listen to him. Now, I want you to know who he's in party with here. Moses. What we and many of the Jews refer to, the lawgiver, right? The lawgiver. The man who God chooses and empowers to lead the people out of Israel. Elijah, right? I'm going to go up here. And I'm going to pray to God. He's going to send fire. We're going to go down here and kill 100 priests, prophets of Baal. Jesus is there, and God goes, don't get it mixed up, if you let me say that. Listen to him. He is the one that Peter wonderfully says has the words of eternal life. So today, just like every time you're confronted with the truth, you got to do something with it. That's the beautiful, man. Jesus is just, he just pushes it, right? You got to do something with it. Well, Lord, I'll make a decision tomorrow. Well, that's a decision. A foolish one. Quoting Jesus here. A foolish one. It's a foolish one. And guess what? At some level, we've all made that foolish decision. Oh, this person said this about me. I have the Jesus response, and I have the foolish response. Right? Now, there are some decisions in life that are we get some say-so and some input. There are some where Jesus, and he's laid this out in the Sermon on the Mount, this is the kingdom response. And what he's saying is all the stuff we've laid out over the last few weeks, there is a kingdom response and there is a foolish response that leads to the wide gate that leads to destruction. And there's a Jesus response that leads to the narrow gate that few choose, few find. And then when you find it, guess what you got? You got to choose. So today, wherever you're at, that puts us in that same boat, right? Like, I've been a Christian since I was 12 years old. I'm confronted with the truth. What am I going to do with it? I'm going to build my house on that? Is that the decision we're going to make? Is that what I'm forging out in my life? Or is it not? You're sitting there and you're like, I've never given my life to Jesus. I've never become a Christian. I've never put him on it. Guess what? The same choice is before you. I've heard the truth. I know what Jesus says. Am I going to choose the Jesus path or the foolish path that leads to destruction? Today, if there's a way that we can assist you in choosing the Jesus path, maybe it's simply coming to you and go, oh, I remember when that decision came to me and I blew it. Man, I was terrible at that. Learn from my mistakes. Go the Jesus path. Maybe that it's that simple. Maybe it's that vulnerability that Jesus actually would like us to have. Not only before him, it's a maturation process, right? Like, you know, man, I could be very vulnerable before Jesus because he knows it already, right? Some of you are like, I can't be vulnerable to anyone because I've been taught that I've got to be hard and not let in and not let anybody in. And you're still working through that. Some of us are down the line, we're like, I can tell anybody anything. I'm an open book because Jesus is awesome, right? I've been vulnerable to him for so long that it makes it real easy. I can overshare very quickly, right? And sometimes I do it from up here. But hopefully, the goal is to grow closer to him. So if there's a way we can assist you, our leadership at this church has decided, and I think it was a great decision, to give you an opportunity to share what's going on in your life. We're going to pass the microphone. Everybody in here has the opportunity to do that. Or maybe it's something that's just between you and God. Open up to him now. Or if there's some way that we can assist you, we look forward to the blessing, the opportunity to do just that in whatever way we can as we stand and sing.